You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Friday, October 9th, final episode of the week here on Locked On Badgers. My name is Asher Lowe, and this is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin Badgers basketball and football, bringing you the inside student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. I am the host of Locked On Badgers, of course, but also a writer at USA Today's BadgersWire.com covering all things Wisconsin basketball and football. You can get this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on Apple right now, go down, drop a review and a comment. That would be much appreciated. I love the comments I've gotten recently, and it really helps me, and not only helps me to get better, but also helps me to just see people enjoying the episodes. So that means a lot. Thank you guys so much for listening every single day right here on Locked On Badgers. Today's special guest, we have a brand new host in the Locked On Podcast Network, the host of Locked On Buckeyes, joins the Locked On Badgers podcast, Jay Stevens. He's also a Colts fan, so we talked Jonathan Taylor, kind of a dual Jonathan Taylor episode plus Buckeyes preview episode coming at you right now. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Go. Built Go is the best way to get energy fast. It's 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling, plus it's natural. It's way better for your body. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Here is that episode with the new host of Locked On Buckeyes, Jay Stevens. Joining me now on the Friday edition of Locked On Badgers is one of the newest hosts on the Locked On Podcast Network, the new host of Locked On Buckeyes, and the host of the Jay Stevens podcast, obviously his name, Jay Stevens. Welcome to Locked On Badgers.
What's up, Asher Ben? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course, let's do it. So we're talking about the two top teams, in my opinion, and maybe in your opinion, not sure yet, in the Big Ten Conference, the Ohio State Buckeyes. What I'm trying to do here with this series is just give fans, as we lead up to the season only a few weeks away, give fans a taste of the power of the Locked On Network, because we can bring in insiders from other schools and give fans a taste of what they should expect from certain schools this year in this 8-game Big Ten schedule. So I'll leave it open-ended for you at the beginning. What are your expectations for this Ohio State team?
Expectations for this team, they're very similar like every other year. I don't really try to say that like too lightly or egotistically. But no, Ohio State is loaded on both sides of the ball, offense, defense. There's really a buzz around this team this year that seems a little bit different than normal. The possibility of COVID maybe aiding the brotherhood being strengthened and being stronger than it already was could really very well be a thing. Now, I don't know that particularly well and saying that's concretely what happened, but there's a buzz around this team, the talent. You got a new grad transfer in Trey Sermon at running back. I want to be a two-headed monster there with him and Master Teague. Of course, you got Justin Fields, Chris Olave on the offense, phenomenal guys on the O-line. Defense, got some new faces there on the defense. But really, man, I say this with some of conviction that I really feel a strong buzz, Big Ten championship, college football playoff appearance, and beyond. As long as everything goes as planned, like you stated earlier, and that they play like they should, really, this team is loaded. And I believe once they start playing, they'll be looked at like an Alabama is currently and a Clemson is currently, because they're currently playing right now.
It doesn't matter much for Ohio State because they reload and retool every year, but you guys lost a ton this year. And like you said, you already mentioned some of the guys that are going to step in at positions you lose, with J.K. Dobbins in the NFL, with my guy Damon Arnett on my Raiders now. Hopefully he gets back to being healthy on the field soon for my Raiders, but you guys lost a ton of different positions. Who are some of those guys that are going to fill the holes from last year's NFL talent?
Well, I've already mentioned one of them. You already have Trey Sermon, grad transfer from the University of Oklahoma. You may not remember him much last year. I believe he got hurt, didn't get as much playing time, as, of course, injuries derail you from playing consistently. But I do really, really believe that Trey Sermon and Master Teague backed up J.K. Dobbins last year, and then you have Trey Sermon at the running back, starting running back this year. I truly believe it's going to be kind of a thunder and lightning aspect. I think Master Teague will get more carries. Well, not more, because it's a shortened season due to COVID-19, but more of a consistently more right. carries than last year, because J.K. Dobbins was really your workhorse, your bell cow, similar to Jonathan Taylor, who's on Mike Colts right now, who, like, you give him the rock, let him get it 20, 25, 30 times
not,
a game.
Why is he not? I'm going to go on a sidetrack here, Jay. I got to go on a sidetrack for you right now. Yeah, yeah. Why in the world, and I talked about this on, I think it was Tuesday's episode, I had a whole segment on this, because I'm just so confused. You're a Colts fan. Why is Jonathan Taylor not getting 35 carries a game with old man Phil and no Marlon Mack?
I truly believe that it's somewhat – well, it's a couple of things. Well, it's a lot of them. I won't go through the whole entire list. But you have no preseason. And I've been even on my personal podcast that you mentioned earlier, I have harped on without having a preseason, that limits the curve, the learning curve of these younger players, Jonathan Taylor specifically, the one we're talking about. And so literally his preseason was the first four games. Imagine you got no preseason, week number one, you're the backup running back, but really you're the third string running back, because I believe Nyheim Hines was the backup, which I don't understand why you put a speed guy as your backup running back. I'm not the coach, but that makes no sense to me. But then at week two, once Marlon Mack goes down, you're thrust right into the starting role. You get instant success, 100-yard rushing game, your first start. And then you see that Frank Reich, I believe, is literally trying to find the right personnel groupings, find the right calls. I saw last week the O-line didn't play up as well as they should. So you look at the box score, Jonathan Taylor carries, yards weren't like you would think. Well, the O-line wasn't playing like you think. They weren't having long, sustained drive. So that was part of the reason as well with that. But, man, I truly believe, like, it's kind of just early season, no preseason. And then I think Frank Reich is trying to save Jonathan Taylor instead of squeeze the orange and get all the juice out of him that you can, because he wants to have him there for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, not 3, 4, year five, he gets hurt. Marlon Mack situation, and that he's not there long-term. So I think that's part of it, man, but I'm with you. I'm like you. He's young. He's a rookie. He's used to this. Let him run the rock. Let him scoot. Let him find his way. He's finding a way with the defense of the NFL to find the hole, and he's learning how to do it quickly. College is completely different. NFL, guys are just as fast as you, just as strong as you, they're smarter than you, so you're having to learn on the job. So I truly believe, like, JT, Jonathan Taylor, he'll get more carries eventually. And once Frank Reich and the offense gets away from Jordan Wilkins and third-string running back, like, hey, man, you can't get as many carries as you want. This guy that's starting, he is special. I think down the road, weeks 5, 6, 7, and 8, we'll see more of the true offense that we're expected to see the second half of the year from the Colts, which will have more carries from Jonathan Taylor.
Two things about JT before we get back to Ohio State for the rest of the episode. The one thing that was killing me, man, is why are you not giving him the ball within 5 yards? Like, they were literally running Nyheim Hines in the red zone, and I don't understand that at all. The second thing is, you mentioned something that really followed JT out of Wisconsin, which is too much tread on the tires. That was the story coming out of the draft. That was the story going into his rookie year. This guy's got too much tread when you compare him to a guy like DeAndre Swift, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's carried the ball too much at Wisconsin. He's just done too much, and running backs have a short shelf life. You know, their average career is under 2 years in the NFL, which is a crazy low number. So I get that argument from Frank Reich, if that is some of the reason that he's not going there. But the guy also hasn't been injured. Like he also doesn't have injury history. He's been amazingly consistent in terms of being on the field. And that's one of the reasons he has so many carries and tread on the tires, because he's never been off the field.
Yeah. No, you're right. Remind me of the first thing you stated earlier. I'll get to the longevity part. But what was the first statement you made?
The red zone. He's okay. By far the best red zone back without Marlon Mack in there. And even with Marlon Mack in there, I still think he's the best red zone back.
So everybody listening to this knows how relationships work. We all have had a relationship either with a significant other, someone of the opposite sex or same sex, or with a child or with a teacher. And when we have the relationship, we get tied to the individual. We get tied to the person that we are with. Well, I truly think we're finding out that Frank Reich and the offense, they're kind of trying to hold on to the relationship with Nyheim Hines, keeping him and getting him the touches that were promised, instead of making a business decision, which we all believe should be made, and saying, hey, you got to take a back seat, buddy. Yeah. We know you're special. We know you're good. We got to find a different role for you to get you the same amount of touches that you're used to getting. But getting those carries out the backfield, that ain't your expertise. Maybe put you out in the slot, which I think that may be something we'll see with injuries that the Colts have at receiver. I'm expecting at some point, unfortunately, T.Y. Hilton may get hurt, which may have to put Hines out there in the slot to assist to get more passing game going. But, yeah, the red zone stuff is confusing. You're not the only person. Colts fans all over the place are like, why isn't he getting the ball more in the red zone? I think it's more of that relationship-wise. But, yeah, man, I do. But then also that goes with, I think, what you said also about him the tread on the tires. He's a rookie. Like, yeah. I get you want to save his body. He's a rookie. My dad says, young men, young body, let them do their thing. Talking about young people, college, high school, a high school player playing two basketball games one day. My dad's like, he's young. He got young legs. Let him go. Well, it's the same thing with football. He's young. He has young legs. Let him go. Frank Reich, hopefully, someone's getting in his ear. JT saying, hey, look, give me the ball. Let me spin. I can do this. I think, like I said, weeks five through eight, we'll see more of the traditional, the offense we're going to see, which will include more red zone touches, more carries as a whole from Jonathan Taylor. And then the offense, I believe, will be a whole lot better than it was against the Bears last week, because that was quite embarrassing to watch.
Back to the Buckeyes. And by the way, you said young people should just play all the time. I played like four AAU games a day, I feel like, in high school. Like, we had those tournaments. It was like 4 to 6 games in one day. I mean, with a running clock, though, and they would, like, shorten the games. But still, we played a ton back in the day, I remember, for AAU tournaments, for sure. Is Ohio State's toughest game, and looking at the schedule, it should be Penn State right on the road. But first of all, is that their toughest game, in your opinion? Secondly, if it is, what is that trap game on this schedule? Because I see some on Wisconsin's schedule where I'm like, that's at a bad time. That's one where I feel like they could lose. What's the Purdue game of a couple years ago for Ohio State on this schedule? Or is there one?
I'll give you two. And they're actually right before the biggest games. You mentioned Penn State. I believe we played Michigan State before Michigan. I truly believe that in Nebraska game, Nebraska's already want to come with a chip on their shoulder.
You mean that opening week game is a danger zone?
Big time. Because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen for the offense or the defense from either team, from Nebraska or Ohio State. You can't really prepare film-wise for the other school. So if I was a fan, I'm looking out, okay, week two, Ohio State, Penn State on the road. Not your traditional whiteout, but it is still going to be that same stadium. There may be some parents there. I don't know the final word of if parents will be able to go to the games or not. But you're going to be able to see some type of Penn State. And they already know. If you look at the rankings right now, I believe in AP poll, Ohio State's number 6. I have my whole thoughts about that. But then you have Penn State number 10. And Ohio State knows there's two games they can't lose. They can't trip up. Penn State, Michigan. You have a trap game in Nebraska because Nebraska wants to stick it to the Big Ten for the schedule that Nebraska got. You have Michigan State who's trying to turn it around and get back and get on some type of winning consistently. I'm not saying like 10 plus. They want 10 plus wins every single year, but if they get 8 or 9 wins on a regular year, that's great news. They also know Ohio State the very next week against Michigan, last game of the season, right before Big Ten championship. Which I personally think that it would probably be Ohio State and Wisconsin back in Indianapolis once again.
We agree on this podcast that will be the matchup.
Yeah, I do. Well, we'll talk about this in a second. I have a question for you.
Yeah, now go back and do whatever you want, for sure.
But yeah, so Ohio State knows we can't trip up against Michigan. We can't trip up against Penn State. As a natural player, you're thinking, oh, I can walk over Nebraska. I can walk over Michigan State. I can walk over Indiana. I almost said IU. I'm from Indiana. I can walk over those schools. You cannot. You can't do that. Because
Happened to us last year with Illinois, man. It happened to us last year. We had Ohio State against you guys at the Shoe, and we looked ahead.
Jump around, man. I love that. I loved hearing that in the stadium after the game. Oh, jump around. God. I believe that was your game, wasn't it? I believe it was Wisconsin.
They played it at the Shoe. I was there, yeah. I remember that. I think they played it at the same time we usually play it, because that game was close at halftime, and then the third quarter you guys took over, and I think it was like 24-6 or something at the end of the third, and then they played it when we usually played at Camper Heddle. We'll get right back to Locked On Buckeyes and Locked On Badgers crossing over for a little Ohio State preview, but first let me tell you about Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, you can break through it every single day with Built Go. It's these little tiny packages, 1.5-ounce packages. You put it in your briefcase, and it's a gel. And you take this gel, you eat it, and bang, you get an energy boost like no other without that same crash feeling afterwards. And if you visit BuiltGo.com right now, use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout or your work day. Combines energy gel with collagen proteins, and it gets into your system fast. It's easy on the stomach. It's the healthiest alternative for energy. It's like drinking that monster drink, but with way less caffeine, way less sugar, and way better results. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order.
Yeah, man. Yeah, big time. But yeah, I'm those games, but – Indiana game, the Indiana game's always tricky. I look at that more because I am from Indiana. My mom went to Indiana University, so that game kind of has a different place for me to watch that game. But that's always tricky. Somehow, some way, not last year, but there has been a couple times that Indiana has actually played up in that game and forced Ohio State to play a tougher, more full game than expected. So with the way Michael Penix, their quarterback, is talking, he's going to have a lot to say about Indiana and how Indiana is going to play in that game against Ohio State.
I think this is the best Indiana team I've ever seen in my lifetime, in my short, you know, lifetime watching the Big Ten. I think this could be the best Indiana team we've seen. And the Nebraska game, see, here's my problem with that is that I've already harped on this podcast, first of all, how bad I think Nebraska is going to be this year. I think they're going to be a complete train wreck. I think Scott Frost is on the hot seat at the end of this year. I think they're going to win one game. I said that was my hottest take. My hottest take of this entire Big Ten schedule is that Nebraska goes 1-7. So I can't then double back and say that's a danger game for Ohio State, but I get the week one thing because playing a conference game week one is not normal for schools like Ohio State and Wisconsin at all. It happened one time. I think it was 2014, I want to say, but we've had some tough week one opponents. We had LSU as a week one opponent a few years ago, but usually you're going to get a cupcake, and we don't have any cupcakes this year on the Big Ten schedule because it's all Big Ten teams, unless, of course, you want to go to New Jersey and look at Rutgers. But every other school on this schedule can beat any other school bar, I think, Ohio State and Penn State and us in some level. The rankings thing, you brought it up a little bit. Ohio State's number 6 right now. And I hate talking about rankings, and I haven't talked about it much at all on this show because we haven't played games yet. But it begs the question, this is going to be the most wild year, in my opinion, of who's in, who's out of the college football playoff because of the conference schedules, the lack of games being played. Teams are going to have games canceled. We don't know if all Big Ten teams are going to get to 8 games. There's a very real possibility that some play 6 games and some play 8 games and some play 5 games. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Starting them at 6, what do you think the rankings do when they win their first game by 28 against Nebraska? Like how does the rankings adjust to that when you have a 3-0 Georgia or a 4-0 Georgia and a 1-0 Ohio State that was initially ranked at 6? Like, what do you do?
So you hear this thing about style points, and I'll make this quick because I can get long-winded. You hear about style points all the time. Style points, they mean something to some people. They mean nothing to another evaluator. This is a year where I truly believe that style points matter. And if you're going to see an Alabama or a Clemson, and if they're not hanging 60, 65 on somebody, but you walk in Ohio State hanging 65 on somebody, 50 on somebody else, 68 on somebody else. And I'm just using this as an example. And then Ohio State's 3-0. The other schools are 6-5 or 6-0 or 5-0. But Ohio State's margin of victory is a whole lot larger. Their defense is giving up less points. Their offense is scoring a whole lot more points. Offense has more total yards, more touchdowns. Defense is giving up less yards, less touchdowns. That's where I think the style points really will work in. And the old eye test. People hate the eye test.
I love it too.
I mean, that's how I look at game. I rewatch film. I see who played well, who played bad, and then I talk about it on a podcast. That's literally how I view things. I don't like all the other stuff. So I truly, let's get back to the AP poll. Once Ohio State plays, I truly believe that style points work. And then based off how they play with the eye test, you can pull in the margin of victory and the yardage and offensive ranking, defensive ranking, all that stuff. The deep dive analytics, which I don't personally utilize a lot because I want to use my two eyes that I was given when I was born to analyze what I'm seeing. But one thing that I will say very quickly, Miami's number 7, North Carolina's number 8, Penn State's number 9, Oklahoma State's number 10. Let's say, as I believe it will happen, Ohio State beats Penn State, but Penn State goes 1-1, Ohio State's 2-0, but Penn State wins big week one. I don't know who they play off the top of my head, but then Penn State loses closely to Ohio State week number 2.
They have Indiana week one. Penn State, Indiana week one.
They're gonna beat them. I told you earlier, I'm an Indiana guy. My mom went to Indiana. I truly believe Penn State's going to win that game. Maybe they might win big. So if it's a close win for Ohio State week 2, but they still win, you're going to find that Penn State's going to move up. Indiana will probably start moving up because I think they'll probably go 1-1. You're going to see teams moving up the rankings in the Big Ten, and it's going to have those other schools such as a Georgia, a Florida, a Notre Dame, a Miami. You're going to find those schools moving down, and you're going to be saying, they're going to be fans of those schools saying, hold on. We have 5 wins. They have 2. How in the world are we moving back and they're moving ahead of us? Well, the eye test, like we mentioned, how well they're playing, margin of victory, all of those things will start to factor in. There's way more factors. Those of you listening saying, well, Jay, there's more factors to it. Yes, I understand that. I don't have all day to explain every X, Y, and Z about the situation. You're going to see Clemson and Alabama probably stay where they are. Unless Alabama only scores like 30, 35 points every single week, you'll probably see Ohio State move ahead of them. But you're going to have Alabama and Clemson be very, very dominant and convincing, regardless of how many wins they have, because Ohio State, Penn State, even Wisconsin, they're coming for those top spots, and those other schools better be put on notice. Even though they started before the Big Ten, Oregon may even be one to surprise us and say, hey, y'all, Pac-12, they're not ready for us. The Pac-12 may say Oregon, no 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoffs, which will be huge for them. So you may see Oregon sneak in there as well. And it's eye test, baby. I'm big eye test, big seeing how you're playing and doing that. But, yeah, the rankings are going to get shaken up quickly here very, very soon.
It'll be fun for us. It'll be great content for us weekly on the Locked On Badgers and Locked On Buckeyes podcast for sure. You had a Wisconsin question. What were your Wisconsin thoughts you were going to give me?
Please fill me in on what's going on with Jack Cohn.
So we have that. I'll make it quick for the listeners because we did have the episode on Monday. If you haven't listened to that, definitely go back and listen to all the details surrounding his injury and whatnot. It was reported on Sunday by Jeff Patricus, who works at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that Jack Cohn had suffered a broken foot in practice on Saturday. Ooh. It was a non-contact injury. He was just driving back, taking a practice rep, and he tweaked it bad and broke his foot. He had surgery this week. It was successful surgery. There's no timeline right now. He's only been said to be out indefinitely. But if you want my honest opinion, I think Graham Mertz is your starting quarterback for 8 weeks. So that's where we're sitting right now. Graham Mertz is going to be the guy, definitely week one. And obviously we'll see going forward, but a broken foot, a successful surgery, that's where we are right now. Like I said, non-contact, kind of a freak accident. So Graham Mertz, who, by the way, threw a ridiculous deep ball today to Danny Davis, and that clip got out and everyone's going nuts, obviously, because that's how preseason works, threw a beautiful ball to Danny Davis today. If you haven't seen that clip, guys, definitely go watch that clip. I think Zach Halperin tweeted that out recently today. But that's the deal with Jack Cohn. He's out indefinitely, broken foot. Graham Mertz is the guy.
I want to say one thing quickly. Badgers fans, you may not like this. I'm not trying to be like the bearer of bad news. But from what I have heard, those non-contact injuries are generally the worst. We saw it last year. NFL-wise, a bit with Ben Roethlisberger, how he was out for the entire year, non-contact injury. I would hate to see that. Honestly, Jack Cohn had – I was at the Big Ten Championship last year. He had me nervous. Whatever Ohio State was doing, where they were in their own heads in the first half, I seriously thought Jack Cohn was going to do what was needed to have the Badgers to win.
What a tale of two halves that was. I'll tell you, I was calling that game for student radio, and the mood at halftime – in that media room with everyone walking around, the mood with Wisconsin up two scores at halftime, it was like everyone had seen a ghost. Wisconsin media, Ohio State media, didn't matter. Everyone was just sort of shell-shocked. And then, obviously, normalcy was restored in the Big Ten Conference in the second half. But that first half was one of the greatest things I've ever experienced. And then, obviously, it wasn't. Does Wisconsin meet Ohio State in Indy again?
Yeah, they do. They do. I do believe that. I believe that there's a couple games, of course, on everybody's schedule that's going to could possibly trick them up. But no matter what, I still think that it's going to be Wisconsin's side of the conference to lose. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be possibly closer than last year. Well, a closer game overall than last year. You just stated how the first half totaled two halves. I really think that if in the Big Ten Championship, it'll be more of a tighter competition contest than it was last year. I went to the game also, Ohio State, Wisconsin, 59-0. I was at that game as well. So
we're not even talk about that one, please.
I'll talk about it all day.
Guys, you can listen to Locked On Buckeyes if you want to hear about the 59-0 route.
I am doing a film session next week on the Ohio State-Clemson game. I may do that game from a few years ago, the Ohio State-Wisconsin Big Ten Championship. Go back and watch Gus Johnson say Cardale Jones over and over and over.
He doesn't play school.
Cardale Jones, he doesn't. No. No, and I don't think he's in the NFL either, unfortunately. I got one more question for you. I don't know if you got time.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw it.
What game on your schedule do you think is the toughest? Some may say Minnesota. Some may say Iowa. Some may say Michigan, because Iowa's on the road as I'm looking at it. You get Minnesota at home, and you guys have to go on the road to the Big House. I don't know if that's one of the three you see or if there's another one, but which one do you think is the toughest matchup for the Badgers?
So at any level of football, the first thing I think I always want to look for is quarterback, head coach, right? Who's your quarterback? Who's your head coach? And with those three games you mentioned, which are the three toughest, and I think that if you're looking for a scare, it's Northwestern. It's not the toughest game on the schedule. But if you're looking for the classic Wisconsin trap game, Ryan Field is not a place that Wisconsin likes to play. And any Badger fan will tell you that whenever you go to a game at Ryan Field, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be close. It's going to be gritty. And I expect that game on the 21st of November to be that way. Wisconsin's going to win it, though. But those three games, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa. I think Michigan has the most questions surrounding the head coach quarterback combo. Dylan McCaffrey's out. Joe Milton's in. You have completely unproven there. You have Jim Harbaugh, who just hasn't done it. He hasn't brought it at Michigan, especially against Wisconsin last year. But that was embarrassing for them. I mean, that game was never close. That was two different levels of football on the same field. That game was blowout city, and I was surprised that it was that much of a blowout. Obviously, the Hornibrook game the year before, Wisconsin didn't have the level of quarterback that either Jack Cohn or Graham Mertz brings to Madison now. The Minnesota game is the toughest head coach quarterback combination on the schedule. But I do think there's still value for home field. And I've been saying this in the podcast. I still think that being at home matters even more maybe to college athletes than NFL athletes, even with no crowds. Because I think for college athletes, there's really that level of familiarity with your schedule. It's where you live. You know what I mean? Like it's your dorm. It's going through the motions of a game day at home. It's so different for college guys than it is for NFL guys who aren't getting, you know, you're not getting traded every month. You're not on five different teams in 5 years. No, that's your home. That's where you play, and you're very comfortable at Camp Randall with or without fans. So for that reason, I'm going Iowa. I think the last game of the season, Spencer Petras at quarterback, obviously unproven as well, but I think he's going to have a good year. Iowa returns some key pieces on defense. Their offensive line is older than most in the Big Ten. More seniority there, even after losing Tristan Wirfs. They lost talent there, but Iowa, like Wisconsin, offensive linemen, they grow on trees. They're always replacing them, and the offensive line's good again, which is important for a young quarterback. Last game of the year, I think that game could decide the Big Ten West on the road, which is the key here because I still think that matters a lot. On the road, obviously not as much as it used to, but it still matters a lot this year. On the road at Iowa, to me, is the toughest game. My last question to throw back at you before we close, give me some breakout stars on this Ohio State team that we're not thinking of. Who's a guy or two that you think is going to have a big year?
I'll give you one quickly. Well, a couple. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Seven Banks at cornerback. Would you have wow, the name just escaped me. Sean Wade on the opposite side. I do think you're going to find that Seven Banks is going to be a guy that is going to be able to build confidence early, is going to be able to learn and glean from the experience of Sean Wade, and he's going to have the pieces around him and the coaching staff behind him that are going to help him build the confidence that he currently has. I'm not going to say so much about the offensive side. We know about Chris Olave, but I'm going to say keep your eyes on Julian Fleming and Garrett Wilson. If you watch the Ohio State-Clemson game in the semifinal, you saw Garrett Wilson, I think it was on the right side of the field. I forget who the corner was at that time. Justin Fields throws the ball up, and it seemed like Garrett Wilson's 40-inch vertical was exceeded, and he used every inch of it to get that ball. But the quickness, the ability to jump and get the jump balls and get the 50-50 balls that a lot of receivers can't get, I think that's going to be eight. It's going to be one thing. And then Julian Fleming, a young guy, a freshman, a true freshman, I think that he's going to be in the mix as well. And Justin Fields, I mentioned those two receivers because I believe Justin Fields knows this is not just a big season for him as a quarterback at Ohio State. This is an interview. Every game, every second is an interview. And offensive coordinators love quarterbacks that pass the ball around the yard to don't fall in love with just one receiver. Now you're going to have your favorite, your most consistent, the guy you need a third and seven. You go to them every time. We get that. But the more you throw the ball around, not just the NFL scouts love it, the NFL executives love it, or the NFL coaches love it, but also the opposing defensive coordinators hate it because they can't pinpoint on one receiver and they can't just follow your eyes and say, oh, Wide receiver one's on this, my number one option on this side, on the right side. He's running a slant. That's not open, but I'm going to follow him with my eyes across the field. No. 1, 2, 3, follow the progression. Figure out if you need a check down or run it. And I think we're going to see a better, more improved Justin Fields than last year. Eyeing Garrett Wilson and Julian Fleming a lot this year during the regular season.
Jay Stevens, thank you so much for hopping on. The new host of Locked On Buckeyes and a guy that I hope the next time I have you on is going to be championship week, because we'll be seeing each other in Indy at the Big Ten championship game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sure hope so.
As always, on Wisconsin, that was Locked On Badgers for the week. 5 days a week, we're back on Monday with all things Badgers.